We're glad to be here, glad for everyone who have found it in their hearts to come this way this morning. For visitors that are with us, we hope and pray that you feel welcome in the service today. And we want to encourage everyone to make them feel welcome. That's what the Bible teaches us today, that these doors are open, that all may come in, hear the gospel, that they may worship God in spirit and in truth. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, the Galatian letter, Paul's letter to the Galatians. And of course, this was written by the Apostle Paul in approximately 60 AD during his third visit to Corinth. And of course, whenever that you read about Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, those cities that Paul went to, he was received with very great enthusiasm on the part of the people that heard the gospel there. But we find even later that he found himself kind of at odds because of the fact that wherever Paul went, there were a sect that would follow and teach such that, you know, if you have been saved, if you are truly converted, then you need to add circumcision to that to keep the law of Moses. And of course, Paul foresaw that if this ever was the case in the church, that we would have almost like two plans of salvation. One saved by grace, the other one by the works of circumcision. And so Paul, in this particular chapter, in fact, in the entire book that he wrote, lays down that we are saved by grace, but not only saved by grace, but God has given, through Christ Jesus, liberty, that is, freedom. And I could not get my mind through the week off of that very word of freedom. But not only freedom, sacrifice that made freedom possible. And I want to say this morning, and this will be our theme this morning, that you cannot have freedom without sacrifice. Whether it be in what we've enjoyed and sang this morning, or whether it be in our own personal experience of salvation, you cannot have freedom without sacrifice. But we're going to add just a little bit of a twist to that. That in freedom, we sacrifice, or that we put forth sacrifice. So, starting with the first verse of the fifth chapter of the book of the Galatian letter, we do find these words. Stand fast. And I want you to listen carefully. Every verse that has the word liberty in it today. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, and what he means there, that you're depending upon circumcision alone, he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that, and these are kind of my words, that if he is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Then Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever that you are, justified by the law, and fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but it is faith that worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. For a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever that he shall be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've not been called. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 14th verses of scripture in the 5th chapter of the book of the Galatian letter. Now, we've kind of paraphrased some things in that, not that we want to try to do injustice unto the Word of God, but sometimes you read something and it's like it just kind of stands out on its own. But all of this continually works together. That is, it is an on-flowing. It's the Word of God. It's forever and ever. And our theme and our subject will come from the 13th verse. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Use not your liberty as an occasion unto the flesh. Now, in that is hidden the word, on our part, sacrifice. After that we have received freedom from Christ Jesus, then there is a sacrifice upon our part. Freedom is not free, is it? It is cost. Freedom down through the ages is always, always, if it's to be attained, is always carried with it a cost, a price. It's not just handed to us as an entitlement. But because of the prince of the power of this air, there are times whenever that one must sacrifice himself, or several someones must sacrifice themselves in paying for the price of liberty and freedom. There are thousands upon thousands. I don't know if you've ever gone to a federal cemetery or a military cemetery, but I've stood out in the midst of all those white tombstones, and it's always gotten to me. There has been the sacrifice made by this one, by that one, by this one over there, to give me the privilege that I have today. I've heard of people that have received news that a loved one has died overseas in defense of the country that they are from. I experienced that one time whenever that I was in eighth grade. We had a teacher by the name of Miss Cully Blackston, and her son Billy was a captain in the Army during the Vietnam War. And we saw an official car pull up, and it was like, oh, are they sending somebody to give us a lecture in history or civics? Sometimes we had people come in like that. But two uniformed soldiers came out and went in. And the next thing we knew, Miss Blackston was carried out after she heard the news of her only son dying overseas. And that impressed me so much. And that really got to me so much that even to this day, I go to see the memorial of Billy, because it really pressed down that freedom is not free, and that there's a sacrifice that goes with that. There were there are a lot of similarities between one dying for his country and one died to make men free down in their hearts and in their souls. The Bible says in one place that for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners and in bondage, without freedom, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. That's us. That's the world today. We've read in history where that people have laid down great sacrifice. I mean by that the individual did. But then you read of scores of men that died to sacrifice themselves for the cause of freedom. Did you know that in the Civil War, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but they estimate now, and they've always given estimates as they read the records and as they read the roll calls and the muster calls of both armies that fought each other. They think that possibly 850,000 died in that great war. It was a war that had several aspects to it, but the one that we think about today was that it was to set men who were enslaved and in bondage, to set them free. It took that many to secure their freedom. Now, feel however that you do about that. That's you, you know. But I know when I read that, I think there are many of our ancestors that did that. It took that many to set them free. But with Christ Jesus, it took only one sacrifice to set people free. And I want you to know that when I think about that, I think about the black song that says, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And when I say that today, I say that as concerning my salvation, because I want you to know that Christ died for me, an unworthy sinner. And one day, he touched my life and he touched my soul and I was set free, and it was like daylight and dark. And think about Daniel Inouye. He was a senator from Hawaii. He lived at a time whenever that World War II broke out. No, people did not like Japanese Americans, but this young man at the age of 17 went into the service and he was sent over to Europe. And he was leading a platoon, a brigade, up a hill to take a what they call a pillbox, a German pillbox. And he made it to the top. But he did it being wounded several times. And one of the German soldiers threw a grenade. They call them potato mashers. That is a nickname because they look like a potato masher. Threw it out of the box, and it was heading towards his company. He grabbed that thing up, and it exploded before that he could ever get it thrown back, but he kept going. He said, I laid there, and I saw my arm. He said, but I knew that I needed to keep going. He sacrificed his body, and he went on to serve, even in spite of that. And there have been countless others. I think of Bob Dole, Senator Dole, that underwent the same thing. You see, today, freedom is not free. There's a price with it. It costs today. And I never want to take that for granted. I want you to know I never want to take that for granted. Memorial Day for me was going down to church and going through two services. And what made it appealing to me was we got a great lunch in between. But I saw veterans that are like my father. I saw a man by the last name was Campbell, and they said whenever that he came back, he didn't even recognize his wife, his family. I remember that. I remember seeing the flags in the cemetery, and that was our Memorial Day. We remembered. But you know, there's a greater freedom today. And our text comes from just that scripture that we read in your hearing. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Christ has made you free. Christ paid the supreme, ultimate sacrifice that was needed to set us free. He was not obligated in any way, but I'll tell you the power that moved upon him to come and to offer himself in our place upon the cross was the great love of the Father. God so loved the world. We think, oh, that's such a simple scripture, but today it is so deep because God so loved the world of mankind. It doesn't matter who they were. It doesn't matter what they did or what color that their skin was or what dialect or what their politics were. Christ Jesus, Paul said in one place, came to save sinners of whom I am chief. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him. He offered him in sacrifice, and Christ offered himself in sacrifice before Almighty God. There are examples of sacrifice in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel 24 and 24. There was a prophet by the name of Gad that came to David and told him, the Lord has commanded me to tell you that you are to go under a certain threshing floor. And I can't pronounce the owner's name, but you are to go and you are to offer sacrifice unto God for David's error and sin in trying to name the people. And this man that owned the threshing floor said to David, said, well, I'll just give it to you. And you can just have it. And you can just use it. In fact, you can own it after that you finish sacrifice. And I want to read today what David said. And the king of Israel, David, said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which has cost me nothing. In other words, David wanted to make it count. David was a man that was after God's own heart. Are you after God's own heart? I wish I was completely. I wish I was like a David that was willing to go out with a rock and slay one of the most formidable opponents, willing to sacrifice himself. But David loved God so much that whenever that he went to this place to offer sacrifice to atone for the mistake he made, numbering the children of Israel, that David said, I will not accept it as a free gift. Anything that I do for the Lord, I want to pay a price for. I want to tell you something today, my friend. After that God saves our soul, we have that option of offering sacrifice because we have been made free. And you say today, well, that really sounds rather odd to do that, to sacrifice myself for God. There are people that are doing it at this very moment that are willing even to face death for the cause of Christ. Not so that their names might be inscribed upon a wall or upon a monument today, but because they love God so much, they love the gospel so much, God had saved their souls, set them free, and now they were willing to even sacrifice themselves. Well, someone will say today, well, you mean you want me to go out and stand in front of an atheist's gun? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sacrificing ourselves on a daily basis because we love God. Now we find today that David did. He bought that place for 50 shekels of silver. That is a lot of money, even by today's standards. The children of Israel were in bondage unto Egypt. Pharaoh was not going to let them go. Do you know today that the devil fights the church? He fights you. He fights all of us today to keep people in bondage. He does not care about them. He does not care for their souls. He just wants to, in the final analysis, drag as many as he can down into the pit that is described over in the book of the Revelation. You see, hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. And the people reject the offering of freedom, of liberty, of being saved, of coming to God, being changed. If they reject that today, there is no other option. There's no compromise. Hell will be the home of those that reject such great a price for freedom as Christ gave upon the cross of Calvary. In Exodus, the Bible tells us that they were in bondage, that they were enslaved. They could not buy their way out of Pharaoh's Egypt. You know, God went through the land of Egypt, and I want to tell you, if you read every one of those, read every one of those plagues that came upon them, God destroyed their confidence in their gods, in their ability, their government, everything, all the way down. And do you know what it finally took to release them? The death of a king's son. And then he said, you go and get out of here before the rest of the country. That is, Pharaoh said that. The rest of the country is laying in ruins. Now, whenever that they went, they didn't plan anything out. They didn't get together with some others, the elders of Israel, and here's how we're going to plan it. That night, they observed a sacrifice called the Passover. That was a prelude unto the great sacrifice that was going to be made by the Lord Jesus Christ. You read what goes into a sacrifice, goes into a Passover Seder, and I want to tell you, everything about it points towards Christ's sacrifice to set us free. And he said, but when you take it, don't take it as an offering, or don't take it as a sacrifice, and then, oh, boy, we'll wake up in the morning, and as soon as we have our coffee from McDonald's, hey, we'll be on our way. No, he said, you have your staff in your hand. He said, you have your shoes on your feet. You have the inclination to follow the Lord God who's going to go before us. Now, I want you to know, my friend, it was that Passover sacrifice that earmarked, if you will, their passage out of bondage. They were set free. It was a type of redemption, because in that we said that a king's son had to die, but actually it was a lamb whose blood was placed over the doorpost. It symbolized the blood of Christ Jesus. That's how that we get into heaven. I want to tell you something today. If churches take the blood out of the gospel, out of the preaching, out of advising people what they must do to be saved, I want to tell you, you take the blood out of it, you have no gospel. You've got a country club, and that's nothing against country clubs, but you've got a country club pretending that it's preaching the gospel. I want to tell you, it's by the blood of Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the redemption that is in Him. Brother, you've been saved, you have been redeemed and purchased, and you are set free. You are free indeed, the Bible says, as Brother Tim read out of John chapter 8, verse 26, said, if the Son makes you free, and think about this, if Christ Jesus makes you free, you are free indeed. No matter where you are at, you are free. You are a child of God. The Bible tells us that even the prophets talked about the very manner in which that he would offer himself. My wife does not like to look at some of the pictures that come from wars and this and that and the other. And sometimes on TV, they'll show those things. And it's awful. It's not pretty. There were pictures that my father brought home that he later discarded. That I knew where his kit bag was. I'd sneak in and I'd look at him. And I'll tell you, I see why he threw them away, because it depicted the very worst that he encountered in mankind. And even today, and you see me wearing this pin that I'm wearing today, I wear it in remembrance of the men who fought for this country and paid for my freedom. But I also wear it for those that were attacked on October the 6th in Gaza. And some of their relatives saw the worst of what humanity can do to another human being. But Isaiah tells us what happened. And Isaiah tells us how the Christ was offered. I watched one time a film, and it was the one that had made the film The Passion of the Christ. And they asked him a question. They said, "Do you really think it was that bad? Was it? Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad." And he looked them straight in the eye, and he said, "It was much worse. Because you could not see the battle that was going on to try to get him to come down from the cross." But Isaiah says in one place, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes," the Bible says, "we are healed." It took the sacrifice of God's own Son. It was of necessity. God was not going to make a different plan of salvation. He was not going to keep people just sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing. It was all in the mind of God that there would be one ultimate sacrifice. Not a lamb, not a bullock, not a goat, but his own Son. And if you read into the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, there is an example of where Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God stopped it. And in essence, he said, "This is how I'm going to redeem the world." And you know, there are very few people that understood what took place with Abraham. There was a ram caught in a thicket, and God said, "That's the one to use. But I'm preparing a lamb. I'm preparing a lamb that's going to be caught in the thicket of God's love, of his love for humanity." This is what motivated God. This is what God felt in his heart. He loved mankind so much that he was willing to give his son. Would you give your son to sacrifice for the world? Peradventure, for a righteous man, some would even dare to die. I read that in your hearing today. But God loved humanity as bad as humanity is. He loved them enough. He was willing to put his son upon the cross. And what was the result of that sacrifice? I want to tell you, there's power in the cross. There's power in the death of Christ. There's power, if you will, as we sing that song, in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sins. But the result of it is, as recorded over in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore, I tell you what, Paul knew how to write, didn't he? And I bet he knew how to preach too. But he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no law brought against. Nothing can separate us from the love of God." He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There's no condemnation. No condemnation whatsoever. But what does this soul's liberty do for us? One time Jesus healed 10 lepers, and you know, only one came back to thank him. But I think that God has a purpose in every one of our lives, in every one of us today. And someone will listen to the devil and say, well, I don't have very many talents. I don't have this. I don't have this ability. I can't speak. I can't sing. But I want you to know God has given you a gift. He has given you, whether you realize it or not, an ability to serve Him today. And we either serve one or the other. We either serve, after we're saved, the flesh and all that there is to offer, or we serve God. Joshua said, yeah, Joshua said in one place, whom then will you serve? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? I want to tell you, there's nothing else in this world that's worth serving like serving God in spirit and in truth. I want you to realize today that our freedom ought to motivate us and move us and work on us. And I'm not chastising you today. I do not have that mentality in this. You know, I get no pleasure out of rebuking sermons. I know some preachers, it seems like they do. But I do advise you today, use what God has given you. Use that sacrifice of yourself in serving God, in praying, in reading the scriptures, in sitting and meditating upon God. You know that David would sometimes just sit in the presence of God. And you know, whenever we sit in the presence of God, well, goodness sakes, what happens? Well, God doesn't have to text us and say, I'm God, here I am. No. He will speak to you today. You can commune with the great God of heaven through Christ Jesus today. Isn't that wonderful? And I want you to realize today, my friend, you balance out the world with the Word of God, with things of God, of praising God, of praying. And I want to tell you something. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim, as the song says. And then we can serve mankind. God works through us. God worked through the disciples. God worked through some unusual choices that He made in order to reach mankind. Someone will say today, well, I don't know about some of these people that are out there that I'd really want to serve them. But do you know today you might be surprised that you may be the only gospel that they'll ever hear? That's a sobering thought for me today. And that's why sometimes I've done some pretty outlandish things. I hand out cards like you think I was running for office the way that I do that. I'll hand out scripture cards. God will move on my heart. I'll hand it to a waitress. I said, do you know the Lord? Or have you had a bad day? Well, let me tell you about one who cares about what you're going through. Oh, no. By the way, I preach at this church. You're welcome. You don't have, now, don't take this to heart for yourself, but you don't have to give a dime. Just come and hear about Christ Jesus, who loves you today and gave Himself for you. I hope and pray today if they don't come, that they'll look at that. My dad used to give out Gideon Bibles. And if the subject ever came up, he told them his experience of salvation. And I thought, well, maybe I can't be a Gideon, but I certainly will be a politician for the Lord. Amen. Vote for Jesus.
Amen.
Vote for Jesus today. He has an impeccable record. There's no controversy. There's nothing wrong. And I want to tell you something. He's coming again. And when He comes again, bless your heart, He's going to straighten out everybody's politics. He's going to straighten out everybody's theology. My friend, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And none like Him today. And there never will be another one likened unto Him. But my friend, He asked us to deny ourselves. One of the things He would do with when He called a disciple, he would say to them, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And that's what he says to us today. Come and follow me. Now, it might be sacrifice. It might encompass our time, which anymore is a sacrifice. Paul says over in the book of Romans in the 12th chapter and in the first verse, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable in his sight, which is your reasonable service. That's all he asks you to do. And do you know today, my friend, if you just do this, just give water in the name of Christ, you'll receive a reward. You won't get water splashed on you, but you'll receive a reward out of it. Not that we're reward seekers, but today, I want to tell you the most satisfying thing is whenever God lays something on your heart and you do it and you've obeyed him. My friend, it's one of the most blessed things. And I don't come before him and say, well, Lord, look what I did. No, Lord, thank you for laying that upon my heart and using me in your cause. It's the greatest vocation. Someone will say today, I thought you were a pharmacist. Some of that's laid aside. But now I'm doing what God called me after all these years. I want you to realize today, that's all our vocation. Tell the world about the Savior. And we find today that Jesus, that commission that Jesus gave, and I'm going to close, in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, and in the 19th through the 20th verses, I'm going to read that to you. Jesus said, all power, all authority, everything that can be and will be is given unto me upon heaven and in earth. And then he goes on and he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. And I could go back to this too. Notice whenever he said whose name to baptize them in, why didn't he say names? He said name. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he goes on and he said this is the best part of it, of the commandment. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus is going to be with each and every one of you in this little church, the others today. He's going to be with you even unto the end of time. Is it a sacrifice? Yes, it is. And it costs. And it costs Christ suffering upon the cross to set us free. But my friend, we can be a part of that whenever that we sacrifice so that ultimately others may be set free. May God bless you. It's my prayer, my desire today. May God be with each and every one of you. I'm so thankful to be here today. I'm so thankful you're patient. One time I went 2 hours and couldn't stop. Someone's praying right now saying, oh Lord, don't let him do that. Here. But I love serving the Lord. Sometimes, it's just so overwhelming. I can't even begin to explain to you what it's like to have him just speak to you and say, preach this, prepare for this, look for this. No, I don't want you preaching that. I want you preaching this. I don't care if you're prepared for this. You preach that. Boy, that's the living God. And he will speak to you today if you listen. Hear his voice and harden not your heart. I love every one of you. I mean that. I love all of you equally. But I want to tell you, there's one who loves you even more and greater and deeper than I do today. And I want you, as you go away from this place, to think about that. He loved you And you go to the scriptures, you put your name in there. For God so loved Melba. For God so loved Carolyn. For God so loved Paul. Oh man, I don't know about that one. But nevertheless, God so loved you. Put your name in there. He loved you individually. Before you were ever born, He loved you. All the way from past eternity. And most important of all, He loved you from the cross.